Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Across the UK, online and on DAB Digital Radio, Women's Football Weekly with Faye Carruthers on TalkSport 2. All the action, excitement and drama from across the entire women's game, including the Women's Super League.
Cleared off the line by Steph Horton.
The UEFA Women's Champions League and the Euro 2021 qualifiers.
Lana Clellan striking from outside the penalty area.
World-beating big match conversation on the station that's raising the game for women's football.
And she scored!
Women's Football Weekly with Faye Carruthers on TalkSport 2.
Hello, I'm Courtney Sweetman-Kirk, sitting in for Faye Carruthers today on Women's Football Weekly. Last night there was heartbreak for Chelsea and Gothenburg as Barcelona dominated the WSL champions to take the European crown.
There's the full-time whistle. Chelsea's first Women's Champions League final ends in a damaging defeat.
Emma Hayes vowed that Chelsea will be back again to take Europe's top prize.
Our owner came in to see us and all the girls were, you know, very quick to tell him that we'll be back here and we'll work hard on the training pitch to make sure we do that.
In the WSL, there were big departures at Manchester United and Birmingham City.
Hopefully we'll meet again one day, hopefully, because I would like to say a proper goodbye.
All that, plus we talk transfers and the FA Cup fifth round. This is Women's Football Weekly, National Radio's only dedicated women's football show.
Women's Football Weekly with Faye Carruthers.
Hi, I'm Jordan Nobbs and you're listening to Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2.
Hello, hello everyone. It's me, Courtney Sweetman-Kirk. I'm in the hot seat today whilst Faye is away on a well-deserved break. And joining me today, I've got Flo Lloyd-Hughes, Women's Football Weekly producer and journalist. And I've also got Claire Rafferty, former Chelsea and England defender. It was absolute heartbreak for Chelsea and Gothenburg, who were stunned by an own goal within the first 30 seconds and never recovered from that game last night.
Inside the first 30 seconds of the game, Barcelona have set their stall out. The ball's still not clear. Kirby trying to get it back, takes a deflection, goes in over the top of the goalkeeper, and Barcelona are in front. What a terrible start for Chelsea. Paxson into the air as she's beaten Carter to the ball. She squared it back to the penalty spot. And Hermoso went to strike it and then lost her footing and has gone down and a penalty has been awarded. Puteas steps up, left-footed, straight down the middle. And Barcelona are into a two-goal lead. Here comes another chance for Barcelona. An opportunity to round the goalkeeper and it's in from Bonmati. Given away by Chelsea. And this game is being given away by Chelsea. Barcelona are crushing Chelsea's Champions League dream. And here's Hansen to finish it off. And Chelsea are being battered by Barcelona in the Champions League final. It's Chelsea 0, Barcelona 4. Chelsea are being thrashed. There's the full-time whistle. Chelsea's first Women's Champions League final ends in a damaging defeat. Two cup finals, two losses in one weekend. But Barcelona's experience and quality shine through as they become the latest team to lift the Women's Champions League.
Listen, we talk about the disappointments. We're the second best team in Europe. Yeah, we lost the game. We're not the champ. We're the second best. Oh, that's a step in the right direction. And it's still young, this group. I still think there's a lot more potential.
This is going to be a real hard defeat for them. I think it's going to hurt for a while. As you mentioned, they've still got, you know, an FA Cup game after this to play. I think, you know, it's been a long season for everybody. And I'm sure, you know, Emma's going to she'll be able to work her magic in terms of regrouping her players for this final FA Cup game. But it's going to be difficult. Players are going to switch off now. They're going to be disappointed. They're going to be upset. It's been, as I mentioned, a long, hard season for them.
This will really, really hurt at this moment in time. And in hindsight, it's a wonderful thing. And sometimes you look back at your career and you realise that those negative experiences or ones like this where you've lost, actually, you learn the most from and you grow from. But, you know, they won't feel that right now. All they will feel is the sadness and how gutted they are. And that was all the action last night from Chelsea v Barcelona in the Champions League final. I've got Flo Lloyd-Hughes with me, and I've also got Claire Rafferty. Claire, I heard it was a bit of a late night for you yesterday getting back from Gothenburg.
Yeah. Hi, Courtney. Hi, Flo. We landed about 4 a.m. Humbling defeat, to say the least. I was going to say I don't really want to talk about it, but that's the point of the programme.
Yeah, hopefully you'll be kind enough to give us a few words. And really, with you being there out with the squad, I just want to pick your brains really as to, you know, how the game went and obviously how the girls are feeling now. And, you know, they'll definitely be gutted. But, you know, what are the overarching thoughts in camp?
Yeah, you know, I think the early goal really did stun the girls. We looked shell-shocked the whole of the first half. I just didn't think we got in any kind of rhythm or flow. And, you know, credit to Barcelona. They were incredible. The speed of play, the ability to break us down. They didn't give us a second to breathe. But, you know, leading into the game, the morale was fantastic. There was a calm about the squad. They were given all the tools needed to succeed. And unfortunately, you know, as Emma said in them highlight clips there, you know, we're second best and that's progress, at least, to say the least. That's a positive out of it anyway.
Yeah, and I think, you know, going forward, the positives are there's that experience there. And do you think maybe that was some of the difference as well? Barcelona in that position a couple of years ago, lost to Lyon and they've come back. And are you expecting Chelsea to do the same thing going forward?
Yeah, you know what? You do learn a lot from defeats, and I think they'll be reflecting on this game. Barcelona righted a few wrongs, didn't they, of previous disappointments in finals. And that does give you that experience. You know what it feels like to play on that big occasion. But saying that, you know, a lot of these players are world-class players that play for Chelsea. So I wouldn't think that the lack of experience in big games was the issue. But I think potentially it just was maybe 1 year too soon for Chelsea.
Yeah, and I want to pick your brains as a defender as well. I think at times they struggle with Barcelona's movement up front, especially with the false nine sort of dropping in and maybe didn't get to grips with that so much in the first half. The second half with the tweaking formation looked a little bit better. But do you think they struggled with that movement?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, the showing of lack of experience in our wide areas, I think we just couldn't deal with the movement. For me, as you said, as a defender, it's all about holding your position and kind of making them make a decision. But it seemed that they were just running right, weren't they? And I think the change of formation did help, but it was too little too late. I think the big thing here is, you know, these problems need to be solved on the pitch, don't they? Coming in half time is a little bit too late. So a little bit of onus on the players to reflect and see what they could have done differently during the game, because it is about the ownership. There's only so much Emma can do.
Claire, I know Courtney and I were talking a bit earlier about how obviously Emma Hayes is so positive and always looking forward, but how much do you think this will hurt her, that result?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you could see her face, it was the whole flight home, it was very deflated. Like, I think it takes a lot of energy to get to these games. And you know what? They've got another game, haven't they, next week. So picking yourself up and going again is something that she's learnt over the years. You know, there's many times that we've failed in order to get to this stage. But yeah, I think, you know, it's a hard blow for her. She'll be absolutely gutted, and so will all the players. And it's not just Emma, you know, all of her backroom staff, they put in the hours day in, day out to get themselves to this stage. But, you know, that's a sign of a good manager. She's going to have to rally around everyone and bring everyone together.
Yeah, and going forward, there's that FA Cup fifth round against Everton, and sort of maybe the overarching feeling in the back of my mind is Everton are maybe in for a bit of a pummeling, really. Chelsea feel like they've got to right some wrongs, and you know, I know as a player, having a quick game come around at times is sometimes the best cure for a loss. I know it's, you know, slightly different, it's a Champions League final, but do you think they will put all their efforts into that?
Yeah, it's an opportunity, isn't it? It's an opportunity to right some wrongs. It's an opportunity to end the season, the way they started. And to prove to themselves, you know, this is just a blip. This doesn't reflect, you know, their ability at all. And football's great because you always have the chance to go again. And this is a chance for, you know, I'm sure Emma will be saying, look, some of you are fighting for your positions. This is just as important, this game. The FA Cup is just as important. So, yeah, I mean, it would be a deflating to go again, but, you know, these are professional athletes and they have the positivity to do so.
Yeah, and going back to what you said, Claire, I think it was a bit of a blip. There's probably too many players having an off day and it's unfortunate on the day that it came. But going forward, obviously, they have to play better on those big occasions. But to bridge that gap, what do you think where Chelsea need to look and what they need to do that to consistently compete with Europeans elite?
Well, I think, you know, you saw the fullback almost makeshift coming in quite late on for Chelsea. Fantastic ability of Jess Carter and Eve Charles. But I think that inexperience showed a little bit. Saying that, I think all over, they need to find a new level. And that will mean training day in, day out. I'm sure there is recruitment going on, as there always is at Chelsea. So I wouldn't be surprised to see players coming in. You know, Emma does like to keep it fresh all the time, and an introduction of new talent helps that a lot. But also, as I said, it's an opportunity at the weekend to go again in the FA Cup, but also an opportunity for these players to actually reflect and just think about how they can improve and what they can do better.
Claire, after this section, I think in the next section we'll maybe touch on Barcelona and how good they were, and maybe this is the start of something big for them. But how much do you think might have been too much confidence going into this? Partly, I think, from our side, from the media. Obviously, we really did big Chelsea up in this scenario. But also because we're in our own little bubble, right? We don't necessarily pay a lot of attention to Spanish women's football. You can't really watch it that much over here. So do you think there's a sense of, you know, a lack of necessarily like prep and understanding on what the best sides in Europe are doing?
Well, you know what? I think the detail that would have gone into the prep would have been first class from Emma's squad. But I do agree with you. We are a little bit short-sighted in terms of, you know, how the Spanish leagues play. I know for sure. I haven't seen a great deal myself. And I think that just goes down to visibility, doesn't it, of these women's games. There's not a great deal of it on TV. We know that Barcelona, you know, had a fantastic season and were clear leaders. We know that they scored a lot of goals. But style of play and facing them day in, day out, you know, it would have been the same for them. They haven't played, you know, I don't think we've actually ever played Barcelona before. So I think, yeah, maybe potentially. But yeah, I don't know. I just think on the day that they got it right, didn't they? And they were firing on all cylinders. And I think we expected more of an even game. But second half, we did have that, didn't we? But I just think it was just a little bit too late, wasn't it?
Yeah, unfortunately, we're going to continue this chat, but this moment in time, you're listening to Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2. I'm Courtney Sweetman-Kirk, alongside Claire Rafferty and Flo Lloyd-Hughes. Coming up, we hear from Chelsea manager Emma Hayes and her players after last night's game.
Women's Football Weekly with Faye Carruthers on TalkSport 2.
This is Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2, the only show on national radio dedicated to women's football. I'm Courtney Sweetman-Kirk, and joining me, I've got Claire Rafferty and Flo Lloyd-Hughes in the studio. Don't forget, if you miss any of our shows or want to listen again to our podcast, that's available on the TalkSport app, so download it today. So going back to the Champions League final, it was obviously an emotional night for everyone at Chelsea, but the person that has been leading them through all the ups and downs and inspiring them on this journey was as resilient as ever after last night's defeat. Let's hear what Chelsea manager Emma Hayes had to say.
Congratulations to Barcelona. They're worthy winners of Champions of Europe. I thought their experience counted. I thought they were exceptional in both boxes. You know, it's one of them games. It just felt like everything fell to them, everything. And I think the early goals really, I think, took a lot out of the team. And, you know, I'm really proud of them for the second half. I asked them at halftime to really treat the game at 0-0 regardless of the scoreline, because to be 4-0 down when they had four chances, I don't think I've ever seen that before with a Chelsea team. So I was, as disappointed as I was, I just wanted to see the character of the players in the second half, and they gave me that. Our owner came in to see us, and all the girls were, you know, very quick to tell him that we'll be back here and we'll work hard on the training pitch to make sure we'll do that. And if I know this group well enough, I know that they mean those words, and this is just another step in our journey. Because, listen, we talk about the disappointments. We're the second best team in Europe. Yeah, we lost the game. We're not the champ. We're the second best. Now, that's a step in the right direction. And it's still young, this group. I still think there's a lot more potential.
That was Emma Hayes there talking after the Women's Champions League final. And I want to talk about Barcelona a bit, Claire. I must admit I was very impressed by them. Again, as Flo alluded to earlier, I haven't got to see much of them myself. But not just in possession, which I probably expected from a Barcelona, but out of possession as well. They were fantastic. They were really organised. And when they couldn't go and press, they'd sit in and make it difficult for Chelsea.
Yeah, they were so compact, weren't they, and organised. And I think, you know, that they had some clear leaders out there on the pitch. They didn't let our players breathe, did they? You know, the likes of Frank Kirby and Sam Kerr, they didn't get a sniff. I just, even playing out from the back, they had, you know, the press was fantastic. Their timing was spot on. They just seemed on the front foot. And we were just a little bit more reactive than them, and it ended up costing us. But yeah, you know, fantastically organised team. Strength and depth throughout the whole squad, and some real leaders in there. You know, like Leek and Martins. I mean, you've got world class players playing in their squad.
Well, the physicality element is something that I think a lot of people noticed last night, and I would always count Chelsea as quite a physical side. But do you think it was more down to nerves that they were losing some of those key battles, or do you think that actually having been there and seen all these players in the flesh as well, that Barca were a more physical and athletic side than Chelsea last night?
They just seemed to have a bit more energy, didn't they? I think physicality wise, you know, we've got a, you know, strong team. I think you see the dominance in WSL. I just think it was just kind of the element of shell shock. And you know what it's like when you know, you're having a great game. The pitch feels like, you know, the biggest thing in the world. And, you know, your timing's off. You can't get there for the press. You know, you're missing passes. Everything becomes, you know, lethargic. And it's a lot more difficult to actually retain the ball. And I think we never really got into the flow. We never were able to express ourselves. I'm sure, you know, the likes of Marin was sitting on the side, you know, pulling her hair out, because I think that game was crying out for someone like her, someone with her experience, to kind of just get a hold of it. But, you know, the physicality side, you don't really, you know, equate a Barcelona team, do you, traditionally, with that physicality element. But I think, you know, the Chelsea players were equally as fit and strong. It was just, they just weren't on it on the day.
Yeah, and looking at the WSL football and La Liga and Europe's top leagues, do we think now that WSL football, there's maybe a bigger margin between that and the other leagues than we thought? Or again, is this just a bit of an off day from Chelsea and they can compete on any other given day?
Well, you know, we saw Man City lose to Barcelona as well, didn't we? So I think there clearly is a gap. I wouldn't say so much the quality of the players, but... you know, I think the experience that Barcelona had from previous defeats at this top league, you know, let's not forget, we, you know, for the first time we've overcome Wolfsburg and Bayern Munich, and that in itself, you know, is something that we couldn't overcome. The amount of times I lost to Wolfsburg, I just hate saying their name. But I think that in itself was an achievement. And were we just a little bit too short? Do we need to recruit in different ways? I mean, that's up for Emma. That's not my expertise.
I think it's really interesting, that Wolfsburg thing you mentioned, because it certainly felt like so much of Chelsea's Champions League journey was about beating Wolfsburg, or maybe beating Lyon, as those two big rivalries in the competition. So now that's out the way, do you think Barcelona are going to become Chelsea's new big rival in the competition? And this is a battle that we're going to see play out for a number of years.
Yeah, you know what? I hope so, because it will be a good battle. It's two big stalwarts of football. Two greats, and I think it would be fantastic. I think you're seeing the traditional teams kind of coming to fruition, the likes of Lyon and Wolfsburg slightly behind the pack now. But yeah, I think there was a mental block with Wolfsburg, we overcome them. I wouldn't say there'd be one for Barcelona. I think next time we play them, it will, we'll be up for revenge for sure.
And talking about Barcelona, as you said, we're hoping that Chelsea maybe would stop this. But in terms of, do you think they could go on and be a bit of a dynasty like Lyon have for the last few years? 5 years they've won the Champions League on the trot. So do you think Barcelona are capable of that?
Yeah, you know, the team that they have, Hansen, fantastic player, that came from Wolfsburg, if I'm correct. Saying Lique Martin, Thomas, you know, these fantastic players, and they've got a strong identity, don't they? And I wouldn't be surprised to see them go on and dominate. But I think, you know, the WSL team, City, and Chelsea, and the rest who are kind of competing to get into that Champions League, it is about watching this game and seeing this is the standard that we need to meet. Can we replicate that in our games week in, week out? Because that's the only way we're going to get there, I think. If the standard of the whole league gets, you know, improves, I think it does definitely help out domestically.
Claire, I wanted to ask your thoughts on this, and I'll ask Courtney as well, but a lot of Barca's success recently has been down to how many players play together at national level as well, and it's benefiting each other with so many of those players playing together with Spain, and Spain are one of the real underdogs for the Euros next year. So do you think that model is something that England domestically clubs should be looking at? Obviously City have a lot of English players playing together, so do you think that's something going forward that we should potentially look to do in the WSL because it benefits club level and England as well?
Definitely. I think, you know, the more you can get these players playing together, the better connection they have, and they can gel better. And I think, yeah, as you mentioned, City, I think Chelsea have been criticised a little bit for having a few international players. But I think it's about, where, you know, the best talent, isn't it? And trying to get that exposure. If, you know, like United have a fair few English players too. I think it does help. But it's not something that I think it's a focus at the moment. And, you know, even though the success of the Spanish team, as you said, they're the favourites for the next tournament, I think in an ideal world it would be lovely. But for me, I think it's all about getting the best players on the pitch.
Your thoughts, Courtney, on that?
Yeah, I agree. It's about having the best players on the pitch, and that will naturally happen. In terms of the WSL, obviously the new broadcast deal that's coming in, I think will then attract English players back potentially, like Nikita Paris, like Tony Duggan. They will want to be involved, that have obviously been involved in England before. Lucy Bronze has come back as well. So I think we've got to look at it both ways, because if you know those talents go into one or two teams, it may be, I wouldn't say devalues the WSL, but it becomes a less competitive league. But I think having the players back in England, and we've seen it with the pandemic, obviously makes things easier with travel and things like that. But I think, you know, I'm putting my sort of broadcast hat on here and with this term, but the product has to be good. So whatever way that happens in the most competitive league, then where the players land, it doesn't really matter. But I think as well, obviously, as a football fan, as an England fan, I want the Lionesses to do well and go and win a major tournament. So whichever way that they can do that, and the FA will help and the WSL will help with that, then, you know, more power to them. But I think with the WSL as well, I think, we've seen the broadcast deal coming in, and I just want to go on to that a little bit in terms of Chelsea have already sort of started that process of the bedding in with the men's club. And Claire, do you think that, you know, more teams will do that now going forward, seeing what a massive impact it can have, not just on the women's side, but on the men's club and how everyone's got together and got behind Chelsea?
Yeah, you know, the investment from Chelsea has been absolutely huge. You know, flew out on Friday on the private jet, the men's team huge. You know, equal opportunity is throughout the club. And in order to give these players the best opportunity to actually win, you know, you need to give them the facilities and infrastructure to do so. And I think there's no surprise that they're champions of England at the moment because of that. You know, it does take investment. And I think, yes, the broadcast deal is bringing in a little bit more money, but I think we need to see bigger investment from some of these clubs. I know Liverpool have been criticised quite a lot for lack of investment. I read this morning that, you know, United, Casey left off the back of potentially not having equal opportunities at United. So I think there is a long way to go, but it will help every single team if they do get the backing, because that infrastructure is already there. You know, the, you know, business or football is already in place for these big clubs, and you know, it doesn't take much to actually equally support and have a genuine support of their women's team too.
Yeah, definitely. We've seen how successful that can be, and we're going to dive into that next. But this is Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2. You're with me, Courtney Sweetman, Claire Rafferty, Flo Lloyd-Hughes, and next up, we're running through the managerial departures in the WSL.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
You're listening to Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2. I'm Courtney Sweetman-Kirk, and keeping me company is Claire Rafferty and Flo Lloyd-Hughes. So we're moving on to the WSL. Last week, there were three managerial departures on Monday. Gemma Davies left Aston Villa. Then just 2 days later, Casey Stoney quit as Manchester United boss. And then on Friday, Carla Ward announced she'd be leaving Birmingham City after less than a year in charge. So what next for these managers? I think it's very interesting with Stoney and Ward. They've been very vocal about the lack of support from their clubs. And as we enter a new era with this broadcast deal, as we spoke about earlier, the lack of support from clubs at the lower end, it's, you know, is this something going forward that we really need to address, Flo?
Yeah, I think so. I found it really interesting because Ward and Stoney have been very vocal since they came in about the standards they expect, especially a club like Manchester United. And I think Stoney was quite honest when they played that game in at Old Trafford. She wasn't that impressed by it. I think she felt like it was just a little token gesture, and she felt she wasn't that supported. So I think it's interesting that she's done that, and she's one of the most kind of hot prospects really in women's football coaching at the moment. So I'm very intrigued to see where she goes next. I know she's linked to a job in the NWSL, one of the expansion teams. But I also think it's really disappointing because we touched just on the last section about how big this broadcast deal is, not just financially, but there's a lot more people paying attention to women's football than there were. I mean, TalkSport obviously played the commentary of the Women's Champions League final last night and, you know, made a big deal of the game, and lots of people were paying attention to the game. And I think it's frustrating if you have big teams like Manchester United not really supporting their managers or their teams. And also from a sort of cosmetic outside looking in, you see them signing Tobin Heath and Kristen Press and you think, oh, that's brilliant, you know, things must be going really well. But actually, when all the stuff comes out about the training facilities, how they didn't have places to shower or toilets, I mean, that is so disappointing when from the outside looking in, you think everything's rosy.
Yeah, and for me, this is probably something that might sound quite controversial, actually. But I think if men's teams don't want to invest in the women's teams and they don't want to do it properly, then maybe it's a point where, you know, almost they not shouldn't bother. But I think Manchester United were criticised for many years for not having a women's team. And you almost think now, is it worth them doing it if they're not going to do it properly? But Claire, I want to, you know, get your advice, you know, from a Chelsea perspective, probably the crown jewel in terms of how they integrate with the men's and the women's team, and what advice would you give the other teams, and what value actually do Chelsea women give to the overall Chelsea brand?
You know what, I think first and foremost, the fact that Casey's actually come out and said something about the lack of resources, and Carla Ward, you know, clearly frustrated. I think if it doesn't get said, no one's going to know about it. We need to be making a noise about, you know, the inefficiencies that are going on behind the scenes. And as you were saying, Chelsea have been fantastic over the years. It's been, you know, it's been probably a 9-10 year journey, so it hasn't happened overnight. But I think it's because of the likes of, you know, Emma Hayes, who are not shy in asking for more and setting standards and saying this is not good enough. Why my players not got this kit? Why have we not got a swimming pool? Why have we not got this? No, she wants to do well. The only way to do well is to give her players the best opportunity to do so. And I think Chelsea have been fantastic at it. And that goes front to back of the club, very much around, you know, equal marketing, which is huge, especially if you want more eyeballs on the game. And I think the fact that the whole club is buying, even commercially, I work in the commercial team at the moment, and, you know, it's split equally. And it's very much about, you know, let's bring revenue in for the women so that we can become more sustainable. And I think that DNA and the strategy that's gone behind that is crucial. I know the likes of Man City are on the same kind of page, but it is a real shame to hear others who are just not stepping up to the game, especially like Man United. The size of the club is incredible, and to think that they're not giving it their best is shocking, I think.
Yeah, and also from a commercial point of view, obviously that's your bread and butter. Those shirts of Press and Heath were the best-selling shirts really across the whole club. The clips on social media that they put out got millions of views, and surely it's a bit embarrassing when World Cup winners who are very well known, the best players in the world, turn up and you're providing poor standards. That doesn't look good for the wider women's football community, because they're obviously going to tell other players
exactly.
In the States, I don't want to play there. So I just don't understand why they don't see it as that risk to their brand not to just give them what they deserve.
Well, that's exactly the risk to the brand. You know, it's a negative press. That news is going to spread. You know what women's football like. You know, news spreads really quickly. And I think it's not just that. It's a pride, isn't it? I know that, you know, Chelsea want to represent themselves throughout the whole club the same way. And that's winners. And they've given, you know, the women the opportunity to do so. If United aren't doing that, you know, who does the buck forward there? Someone, I'm really pleased that Casey's actually said something about it, because hopefully we'll see a reaction, because if I was them, I would be slightly embarrassed.
Yeah, and I'm pleased that managers and players alike are coming out as well, because I think in years gone by, players and the managers have maybe felt that they can't say anything, maybe that the little that they have would be taken away from them. And I think it's now we're so empowered, and I think long may that continue. And I think something that we mentioned earlier about Liverpool potentially not investing in the club the way that they are, but Matt Beard has returned to Liverpool, where he won the WSL title in 13-14. And do you think that spells maybe a bit of a resurgence for Liverpool and they're on the way back up?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, Biddy, he's obviously, he was a manager at West Ham, and he's another one who's always kind of been setting standards. Equally at Chelsea, he was pushing the bar as high as he could, and there's no doubt that he would have gone back into that Liverpool dressing room with demands, and them demands are standards, right? They're, you know, giving his players the opportunity to succeed. And as I was saying, he wants to lead this squad to the best of his ability. And in doing so, you need to give these players a good pitch to train on and play on.
It's funny how quickly the dynamic changes as well, because in the summer, when a lot of US players came over and we're still waiting to find out what's going to happen with Heath, Press, Lavelle, Mewis, but it looks like they're probably going back. The talk was, you know, WSL is going to be the best league in the world now. And now we're looking at Stoney likely going to coach in the NWSL, and then Eluko going over for what looks like a director of football role at Angel City, the expansion team in California. So do you think that the dynamic that shifted towards England is now shifting back a bit? And actually, because it's a country that perhaps takes women's football a bit more seriously than we do, that they're attracting a lot of the best talent?
I think they always have, haven't they? They've always got this pull. And I think what they've done, they've reflected on what the WSL has done and the professionalism over here. And they've stepped their game up. And so, you know, you've got some of our best talent heading over there. But I think it's an opportunity for us to do the same. Let's, you know, every single club has a responsibility to represent this league in the best way possible. And I think, you know, over time, we're going to see these back and forths. I think, you know, a good friend of mine, she's, you know, she's always been ambitious. She's, you know, she played in America. She knows what it's like over there. So I wasn't too surprised to see that kind of transition. I think we are just going to see back and forth, and there's nothing wrong with that. An ideal world, we do want to keep our best talent on and off the pitch. And I think the WSL now has to react.
Yeah, definitely. And Arsenal now with that, a manager, Joe Montemurro, apparently is set to go to Juventus. But in terms of now, we're looking at the clubs as well without a manager, Arsenal, Aston Villa, Birmingham. If I ask you to put your betting hat on, where would you see certain managers going and who's filling those roles?
Oh, Courtney, I don't know. I don't want to speculate here. I was going to say, don't you want the job? One of them.
Yeah, you never know.
You know what? I think there's lots of talent coming through. PFA and the FA have invested in these coaches, haven't they? Training, giving the experience to more women. I don't know. I wasn't shocked to see Montemurro go. I think Arsenal obviously kind of had a bit of up and down season, haven't they? And I think, you know, I don't know the reasons why, but I wish him the best of luck. And God knows, I might even go into coaching.
You heard it
here
first.
I don't have any badges yet, but...
And in terms of Arsenal as well, they've dropped away a bit. Chelsea and Man City, for me, the standout teams in the league. What do they need to do to bridge the gap?
Recruitment, I think, you know, getting a solid base, having the core of the team. Arsenal are going to be looking around them, and they're kind of falling behind, aren't they? And I think they have been, you know, one step behind for a while now. And I think behind the scenes there needs to be changes, there needs to be investment. I know obviously women's football has been affected by COVID, but for me, you know, the money needs to just be invested. You know, the Arsenal are a winning club, and I think, you know, you have to be looking around and wanting to stay with the pack. I know Man City, you know, they always go again. They will have, you know, be disappointed for coming second to Chelsea this season, and they'll be pushing again. So it's all about reinventing yourself. But yeah, I mean, just disappointing for Arsenal, and I hope a fantastic manager comes in to guide them back.
There's also going to be a lot of change at the bottom of the table. Obviously, Carla Ward leaving at Birmingham, expecting her to get another job in this division because she's obviously a very highly rated coach. Transition as well at Bristol City with Matt Beard having been interim coach, and Tanya Oxtoby should be returning. But there's a lot of changes going on. Aston Villa, Gemma Davies gone. So do you expect that perhaps next season we might see those bottom teams sort of drift away a little bit further than even they have been in the last couple of years?
I think it's probably looks that like it's going to be the way unless things don't change. I was disappointed to see Carla Ward leave Birmingham City because, you know, I think considering what's the tools she'd been given, she'd done a fantastic job. But I think she equally wasn't happy with what was going on there. So, you know, these teams, they need to have a long, hard look at themselves, don't they? They need to be appointing the best managers and need to be recruiting because I think as it looks at the moment, the gap's going to get even bigger.
Yeah, and then we've got that sort of middle ground, best of the rest. Can you see anyone that can maybe disrupt the WSL? Everton have put a lot into their women's team, had a fantastic start, but fell away. Obviously, Arsenal, if they recruit. But is there anyone sort of left field that you can see maybe spoiling the party a little bit next season?
I think, you know, obviously Everton, if they manage to keep Govan, I don't know if she's going to stay or not, but I think... You know, they're ready to spoil the party, aren't they? But to be honest, I don't see anyone coming in. Like, obviously, Casey leaving United. I had my money on her staying there for a while and really developing this team. But I think if anyone, it would be Everton United. But I still don't think that they're going to be able to catch Chelsea or City.
Yeah, I agree with you there. But next, we're going to be talking about the FA Cup fifth round and the transfer news. You're listening to Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2. I'm Courtney Sweetman-Kirk, alongside Claire Rafferty and Flo Lloyd-Hughes. You're listening to Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2, the UK's only national radio show dedicated to women's football with me, Courtney Sweetman-Kirk, Claire Rafferty and Flo Lloyd-Hughes. So this weekend in women's football, it was also the FA Cup fifth round, and I'm going to give you the scores on the doors. It was Brighton 6, Huddersfield Town 0, Blackburn 0, Charlton 1, Manchester United 2 and Championship side Leicester City 3. A bit of a shock there. Birmingham 3, Southampton 2, Manchester City 5, West Ham 1, Arsenal 9, Palace 0, and my own Sheffield United, unfortunately defeated in extra time 2-1 by Spurs. And one of the interesting things I want to speak about this weekend was the fact that none of these games were on the FA Player. Some of the games, well, most of the games actually, except for mine, were televised or streamed in some sort of way, but some were behind a paywall. You had to pay to watch, which I think in this point we are in women's football, trying to get more people watching and supporting the game. Surely the FA could have found a way to get these games broadcast, Claire.
Yeah, you know, obviously the FA Player, they're trying to get more exposure out there. But to be honest, obviously I was over in Sweden and I had, you know, even catching the highlights is hard, isn't it, to find. And I think it is all about the visibility. I think, you know, we need to get these games on TV, we need to get them on socials, we need to get more people viewing them. And I think that's the only way for me that you know, we're going to be able to increase the commercialization of women's football, because, you know, brands want to be seen, and if they're going to invest in women's sport, they're going to want to be seen. So yeah, it is frustrating, but thanks for that roundup there. I didn't realize that Brighton won so emphatically. Fantastic.
Yeah, it's a funny one, isn't it, because I think it's almost like you forget that these games are happening, because we were obviously all swept up in the Champions League final and that was dominating things. But a lot of these games really flew under the radar. I mean, some teams were putting out little clips on social. But for example, Manchester United, Casey Stoney's last game in charge, and I think you had to pay £7 or something like that to watch it. I think it was just a little bit frustrating, and maybe it sort of spoke to why Stoney's so frustrated, because I know that when the Old Trafford game happened and that game didn't get picked up for MUTV at all, I think she was frustrated because they'd already sort of used their pick. So it just seems like a strange one, because although there's so much progress on these things, it's almost like two steps forward, one step behind. I don't know, Courtney, we were sort of talking about this earlier, that we both felt a little bit frustrated. Your game was obviously the only one that actually didn't get any coverage at all. So who knows what happened in that, apart from the scoreline.
No idea with that one. And unfortunately, I mean, from my perspective, probably for the best. but no, it's frustrating, because we've come so far, and maybe, you know, this is maybe my naivety from behind the scenes of how we can get things on the FA Player. And I know it's not easy just to stream things and say it like that, but surely there is a way that these games can get broadcast, because we've come so far. But these are the little bits where we can get people interested in the games, especially when no one can get in stadiums. I just don't understand how we're not broadcasting them, but that's probably just, you know, I could go on a bit of a rant and that's a penny for my thoughts, so I'll leave it there. But another thing in terms of looking at some of these score lines, we've got Leicester beating Manchester United, we ran Spurs close, Sheffield United, Southampton and did the same. And for me personally, it's probably a bit biased playing in the Championship, but it's been a fantastically competitive season there. And you can see the sort of top end of the Championship running the bottom end of the WSL close. And Claire, I just want to get your thoughts, and do you think that it's time for the WSL to expand?
You know what, I do. As you said, I think the level has improved so much. I think some of these teams are really running the WSL teams close, as you mentioned. And I think I'd love to see more teams. I'd love to see more games. But look, I think that the argument is always around, you know, the infrastructure of them clubs. You know, do they have that in place? Are they going to maintain that for 4 seasons? Are they going to attract the talent? And as you mentioned earlier in the show, it is about the product. And if we can guarantee, you know, entertaining games, I mean, I know you can't always, but I think if you can guarantee that quality of the product, then I'm all for it, definitely.
Yeah, and there's so many teams in the Championship as well this season, I believe, that are looking to go full-time as well. But just deeper with our pyramid as well. I think that, that everything below the third tier for a long period of time because of COVID couldn't play. And I just want to get your thoughts as well on how we improve our pyramid, because I think exponentially, if we improve everything below it, then everything above it also improves.
Yeah, definitely. I'm a big fan of seeing, you know, the increase in revenue from some of these commercial deals that are coming in from the FA for the WSL and the broadcast deals be pumped into the lower leagues, because, you know, if our baseline is at a certain standard, then everything else above it is going to improve. And it is about the sustainability, isn't it? You know, you've been talked about a lot in men's football. I think women's football is equally the same. It's all about getting that talent through, right? And giving these girls that are aspiring. And, you know, we see the England team, the Lionesses on TV, which is fantastic. But, you know, these girls need local teams, don't they? They need, you know, the ability and the chance to actually get out there and play football. I do think we need to see, you know, a bigger investment in them lower tiers. But I just think it also, you know, there's a big call for the brands to get involved too, because we need the investment, and that's from the bottom. The top down. So yeah, I mean, I can go on about that as well. So I won't bore you all with that.
Yeah, definitely save that for another day. But just one game as well that obviously wasn't played because Chelsea were competing in the Champions League final. Chelsea will play Everton. That will be shown online on the BBC on Thursday. And the game I spoke about earlier, Manchester United versus Leicester. And let's hear from an emotional Casey Stoney after Manchester United's defeat to Leicester yesterday.
Yeah, disappointing, bitterly disappointing. Definitely not the way I would have wanted to go out. Like I said, I wanted to leave the club in a better place. So going out the club for me wasn't an option. Probably too many errors in both boxes, to be honest. We missed too many chances. And then I can't equate for those errors at the back. And they cost us today, unfortunately.
We're moving away from today's game and looking back from the 3 years you spent at Manchester United. How pleased are we with how far the club has come in those 3 years?
Immensely proud. I've got a lot of huge pride in what we've built here, the foundations that are set now for the new manager, whoever that comes in. That's a fantastic group that they're coming into, staff and players. So very proud.
And you could hear a few voices of the fans shouting your name outside. I'm sure they would have absolutely loved to be in here to give you one good final send-off.
Yeah, hopefully we'll meet again one day, hopefully, because I would like to say a proper goodbye.
That was Casey Stoney talking post-match yesterday. And thanks to MUTV for that clip. And if rumours are to be believed, Casey will be heading to America. But a player heading to America, Ebony Salmon, Racing Louisville, from the WSL. What do you think about that move, Claire?
I think, you know, hats off to her. She's had a fantastic season, hasn't she, for Bristol. She's been, you know, their shining star. I think it's a shame, isn't it, to see talent leaving the country, but I think she scored something like 18 goals in the last two seasons. So they've obviously spotted talent, and I think she obviously wants to go and spread her wings. I hope that she can gain a bit of experience and come back and you know, make a name for herself here in England. But I wish her the best of luck, and it is a shame for Bristol, but you know, that's how the world works, eh?
Yeah, brilliant talent. And I'm just wondering, in terms of obviously at a young age going abroad, maybe not just as a player, but as a person, it potentially helps you grow. And I just wondered if maybe you had any opportunities in your career to go abroad and make that move.
You know what? I always kind of pondered the idea of it. But for me, you know, when we were going through the ranks at England, it was very much, you know, you need to be playing for an English team. You need to be learning your trade here. And I also worked as well. And financially, it would have probably put me in a worse off situation. So, and plus I'm a bit of a home bird. So it kind of never really appealed to me. But, you know, you see players come and go, they learn the trade, gain experience, and what a fantastic opportunity for her. And I'm sure she'll learn a lot about herself. And yeah, I wish her the best of luck.
Yeah, as you say, it's a different world now for women's football, thankfully, and players like you, Claire, paving the way. So players can go out and do that and have not got to do two jobs.
Yeah, definitely. I think I used to finish training at that 12 o'clock and run to the train station and head into the city. So I think if I'd have been given the opportunity to be full-time earlier on, potentially career might have looked a little bit differently, but I wouldn't change anything, to be honest. I think I learned a lot about myself as well. You know, the commitment to football was there. I loved every minute, and I'm just proud to have been able to help the likes of Ebony and, you know, go abroad and live out her dream.
Brilliant, Claire. Well, thank you very much for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure. And that's all
no
we've
worries.
Got.
Thanks for having me.
No problem. That's all we've got time for today. It was another packed show. So much going on in women's football world at the moment, and I'm sure that will continue. If you miss any of the show, you can catch up by downloading the TalkSport app and subscribing to our podcast. Just search Women's Football Weekly. Next week, Faye will be back for a Team GB special at a slightly different time of Friday the 28th at 12 p.m, so don't miss that. As I've just said, a massive thanks to Claire Rafferty. Thanks for producer Flo for holding my hand, and to all of you for listening. It's been an absolute pleasure. And don't forget, as I say, if you've missed anything, you can now load the Women's Football Weekly podcast via the TalkSport app.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.